All right, so guys, when we came to church last Sunday morning, the world was a different place on Monday morning, wasn't it? And America was in a different situation. And, you know, when things like this happen, we're confused, we're angry, just there's all sorts of emotions running through our minds. All right, Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Satan was behind the attack in Las Vegas on Sunday night. But then he went on to say, I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. So as believers in Christ, as a church, we need to pray for the victims and their families. Of course, obviously, yes. And we need to pray that there would be a spiritual awakening and revival, and the life of Christ would be realized in our country. Because the hope is in Jesus Christ. Life is in Christ. Let me pray now. God, I ask you to be with those the families of those victims and those people who are still recovering, and just the horrible turmoil and trauma that they went through. God, and I pray that there would be a Christian that would touch them, a believer in Jesus Christ. If they aren't believers, that somebody in the name of Jesus Christ would touch them. And then I pray for the life of Christ to be realized in our country. God, I pray that what is important, the message of the gospel, would be made known. God, I pray for those in leadership as they're trying to respond, trying to make decisions, that ultimately you and your message of hope and life would be what is most important in the decision-making process. And I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So today we come to the end of our series on Equipped. And we've been excited. I've heard stories. People are coming to Christ. People have come to Christ. People are growing in their relationship with Christ. It's been fun. And our series has been based on the Hebrews 13, 20, and 21 passage. It says, now may the God of peace equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ. And our series key truth is God desires to equip you with everything you need as you believe, know, trust, and go. And today is go, right? And when I say the word go, so it starts conjuring up images. For some of you, you might think about the $200 you collected when you passed it on Monopoly, right? Others, when I say go, you think of the traffic light, green, and how you get to race the guy next to you to the next intersection, right? The race car driver and all of us men, right? Or you might think of on your mark, get set, go, the block, starting block image. Oh. For people who know Jesus Christ, somebody should think of Matthew 28. Somebody in the church should be thinking of Matthew 28, the go passage of the Bible. And so if you have your Bibles, why don't you open them right now, Matthew 28. Everybody get there. We're going to concentrate on a few verses. Matthew 28. Get your Bible. You can get one from the chair in front of you. Matthew 28. In Matthew 28:16, this is the last message of Jesus Christ while he was here on earth. This is his final message to us before he leaves. Okay, recap the scenario just so we get the context. Jesus Christ lived 33 years without committing one sin. I mean, we struggle with 33 hours. Heck, some days I struggle with 33 minutes, right? 33 years, not one thing wrong. At year 30, he started a public ministry. And he had a three-year public demonstration of his leadership. And at the end of that 3 years, 33 years, the people that he came to give himself to give himself for, they rejected him. They nailed him to a cross, and he died. He was put in a tomb, and then three days later, he comes back to life. And then he spends a couple weeks supernaturally going from place to place, interacting with those who had believed so that they would have confidence in what he had said to them. It's an incredible story, okay? And now he's getting ready to ascend to heaven, to leave earth, to go to heaven right before their eyes. And this is where we pick up the story. Let me pray, though, before we read the scripture. God, this passage is the passage that messes with us as much as any other passage. And you're clear, and yet your clarity doesn't always come through in our lives and how we respond to it. So today I pray that your word would be sharp and living. It would direct us so that we would know exactly what to do with your word. And it's in the name of Jesus I ask this. Amen. All right, so Matthew 28. We're going to start in verse 16, okay? Verse 16, it says, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted." Those three words, "but some doubted," they're comforting and disturbing all at the same time. "But some doubted." Why are they comforting? Well, they're comforting to me because I know when I doubt, at least I'm in good company, or at least I'm in company, right? It's disturbing because we know this small group, there's at least 11, likely it is not unreasonable to assume that there were other people there as well, maybe 100 others or so. But the 11, they had seen Jesus walk on the water. They seen him raise people from the dead. They seen him come back from the dead. And it says, even at this point, they're doubting. How crazy unbelief. Guys, we should never doubt. But we do. Okay, so when you find yourself sleepless at night, right? And there's something spinning around in the back of the head. You're going through something. You've heard something. You're unclear. You can't go to sleep. No, you're in company with even the 11 people that touched the resurrected Jesus Christ. But don't stay there. Because God doesn't want us to stay there. That's why we've been doing equipped, right? That's why we've been doing believe, know, and trust. Because when we have those three components, it helps us deal with and overcome doubt. All right? Some doubted. Verse 18. "Then Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" All right. So Jesus says, okay, Jesus says to these 11 disciples and the other people, but specifically to the 11, he said, "I am tasking you with making sure the entire world understands the gospel message, okay? Remember, what is the gospel? Jesus Christ left heaven and came to earth, lived a sinless life, died on the cross, and was buried. Three days later, comes back to life, and then ascends to heaven so that every single one of us who believes in him can have eternal life. That's the gospel message. And he tells this group of 11, he says, okay, you're responsible for making sure the entire world knows about the gospel message. And then they gotta be saying, what's going on? How can we do this, right? Well, so I think that they understood some things, and they understood the three different the words in the passage. And so what I want us to do is I want us to concentrate on verses 19 and 20, and then we're going to go back to 18 in a second. But in 19 and 20, there's some key words. Go and make disciples and all nations. Go and make disciples and all nations. So let's talk about go and make first for just a moment. All right, so this passage is typically used on Mission Sunday, right? And on Mission Sunday, we talk about go. We talk about the missionaries that are around the world, and we talk about giving to the missionaries around the world, and we talk about going on mission trips. And unless we put go and make together, we think the emphasis is on going. And it's not just on going, it's on going and making. It's a combination. It's going with intent. And what is the intent? To make a disciple. Okay, so let's talk about disciples. What is a disciple? Disciple is simply one who follows. A disciple of Christ is one who follows Christ. Now, I know today in the church we talk about discipleship and making disciples. I even hear Christian leaders say, okay, I'm going to follow the pattern of Jesus, and I'm only going to have 12 disciples. I've got three that are close to me. I'm going to disciple them. Guys, nobody is Stuart's disciple, right? The goal isn't to make anybody your disciple, right? That's not the point. We want to make disciples of Christ. And so then he says, we make disciples. And so in that discipleship context, there was a couple of things. He says, obey the things that I have taught you and be baptized. All right? Obey the things that I have taught you. Work on, after you believe, then you work on becoming more like Christ. And part of that working on becoming like Christ is identifying with him through baptism. And baptism is immersion after the point of belief, buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. So we had something really interesting happen in first service day. We have our baptistry set up, and we had two elementary boys who were scheduled to be baptized. And we had it all worked out, and Joe, man, you did a good job on that transition. You turned it over, and we got you stopped singing, remember I'm standing over there? And the boy literally looks like a deer in the headlight. He had no idea that the room was going to be full of people when he was getting baptized. And so he freaked out. I mean, you guys scare me a lot of Sundays too, so I get that. It was sort of a good one. And we got him in there, and you know, everybody's saying, and Karen had talked to him, and he really did know about Jesus Christ, and she had spent a lot of time with him. It was a good deal. But he got down there, and I just looked at him, and I said, you don't want to be in here, do you? He said, no, I want my brother to come with me. And I thought, oh, that's cool. We'll get the brother. They're both small. We can fit in there. We put you in there together. And the brother looks at me and says, no, I ain't going in there either. And I said, great. Teaching moment for the church. Because actually it's in my notes right here. You know, if you come to the gathering, we talk about baptism. And the statement in the gathering book is at Fellowship of the Rockies, we wait till our children are old enough to believe, to understand and believe in Jesus Christ and make the profession of faith themselves. And I said, guys, There's no sense in these boys going through a religious tradition. That does them no good. Go towel them off. But you know what? You might be here, and I said this first service. You might be here, and you've been a believer in Jesus Christ for somewhere between 30 seconds and 30 years. But you have never followed the command to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. I mean, you know it. You say, well, you know, somebody poured water on my head when I was a baby. That's not what Jesus is talking about here. He's talking about you identifying with his death, burial, and resurrection in Jesus Christ. And so you know what? Right after church, if you want to, come up and see me, and I'll baptize you right now. Somebody did it the first service. A lady came up and said, man, I picked 30 years. She said, I've been a Christian for 30 years. I just never done this. I'm doing it today. You could do it. You should do it. It's part of the discipleship process. It's part of the identification with Jesus Christ. And you might be sitting here and saying, oh, you know, I'm not dressed right or whatever. Right, guys, it'll work out. It'll work out. And I find, and I know this is a rabbit trail, but it's a rabbit trail I like, so I'm going to stay with it here, all right? I know people who they have great relationships with Jesus Christ, and it plateaus, it caps. Baptism is a ceiling. And then when they finally do that, when they finally make that decision, they're finally obedient to Christ in that, God has a spiritual breakthrough in their lives. So go and make disciples, followers of Christ, right? All nations. All nations. What's that mean? Well, the Greek word, or where we get all nations from, is translated from the Greek words pantate ethne. And literally, it means peoples, not just governed bodies. Sometimes it was translated as multitudes, you know, of all multitudes, right? So Jesus here, this is what's happening. Jesus here is talking to these Jewish people. And he's saying to the Jewish people, the gospel message, right? Jesus Christ left heaven, came to earth, lived a sinless life, died, came back to life, went to heaven, so if you believe, you have eternal life. That message, Jesus says, is not just for the Jews. Jesus said, that message is not just for Americans. That message is for everyone. It's not just for the rich, or it's not just for the poor. It's not just for men. It's not just for women. It's not just for boys. It's not just for girls. It's not just for red, yellow, black, or white. The message is for all peoples. And you are responsible for making sure that message goes to all peoples. Now, all right, so let's put ourselves in the minds of the 11 people who maybe had never even left Palestine. And then Jesus said, I'm supposed to make this happen for all peoples, to all peoples. Somebody said 2 seconds after Jesus was gone, is it possible, right? Is it possible? And you're saying today, is it possible? Can we really do that? Or is that just some idealistic distortion of a guy who was willing to die on a cross for people who didn't deserve it? No, it is possible. Okay, now let's go back to 18, all right? Okay, so we talked about the gist of it in 19 and 20. Now we're going to go back to 18. And in 18, Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now, you have likely heard the phrase, give a criminal a gun and they have power. Give a cop a gun and they have power and authority, right? You get the difference, right? They have authority. Jesus says, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me, all right? And now I'm giving it to you. All right, so Luke actually wasn't a disciple of Jesus Christ. He did a research project, and he wrote the book of Acts. He starts the book of Acts, and he did some research into this ascension time period, and he put some things that happened at the ascension that Matthew didn't record. He said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Okay? So that's where we get the power piece. We have the Holy Spirit. I forgot the Philippians passage. Guys, if we have both power and authority, we can do it. You know, the Philippians 4:13, I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength, right? We have power and we have authority, so we claim what God says to us in Philippians 4:13. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. I know Christians, you know, they want to say they're over the 4-foot putt. I can do this through him who gives me strength. That's not what it's talking about, guys. I can get Thanksgiving done without losing my family. That's not what it's talking about spiritual commandments. You can do this. All right, so let's put 18 and let's look at 28 in Acts 1 in the context of something that's happening. If we were to look at the Greek language and understand the tense and the nuances of the Greek language, what Jesus said in Matthew 28, the tense is actually saying, as you were going. And then when he says, when he gives the sort of the order and the how of the going to the disciples in Acts 1:8, it starts in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth, right? You see this, it's this as you are going thing. As you are making your way across the world, you do it where you are at that time and just make sure you get to the next place, right? You see that played out here in these two passages. But again, is it possible? Absolutely it's possible. You know, it wasn't too long ago that we marveled at the ability to go around the globe in an airplane in 24 hours, right? How many of you have your phones? Hold up your phones. Everybody hold up your phones. You got them right now. Hold them up, guys. You can do a live instant stream message from that device to millions of people all across the planet at any moment. It's absolutely possible. So years ago, I had a conversation with a guy, Mr. Stewart, at Greater European Missions, and he gave me some stats about some things. He said, America has 25% of the world's wealth. It's pretty amazing, right? 25% of the world's wealth is right here in America. And then he told me 73% of all evangelical giving, all giving done to the name of Jesus Christ, happens in America. That's cool. That's exciting, right? 73% of all the money given in the name of Jesus Christ happens right here in America. He told me this. This was also astounding to me. I didn't realize this. 90% of the world's theological training happens in America. That's a good thing, right? Come on, guys. That's a good thing, right? Yes. Thank you. And then he told me only 4% of that giving makes it outside the borders of America. It's not true about Fellowship of the Rockies, though. Guys, we say we value missions locally, nationally, and internationally. We see the process that Christ is talking about, and we know that the globe is part of our responsibility because everyone needs to know the gospel of Jesus Christ. I say this quite a bit because it's part of our value structure at Fellowship of the Rockies. But if you come here, you know that 10% of every dollar that comes into the offering goes out to missions. And if you take on top of that the other missions given at specific times, at different times throughout the year, people paying to go on mission trips, whatever, you know, we're bumping $150K in missions giving here at Fellowship of the Rockies. And that's just what comes in through the church. I know you're doing more outside of that, and you should do more outside of that. Guys, we get this. We get the concept, but that's just the give part of the concept. And the give part of the concept is important because, guys, right now, all around the country, there are missionaries that are in place and literally spanning the globe right now. They're there partially because Fellowship of the Rockies gives them the money to be able to be there. And that's a good thing. But that's just one part of it. If we are going to fulfill the command, the commission of Christ right before he went to heaven, we must embrace the go. We must embrace the go. In fact, say that with me. We must embrace the go. All right, so I'm fixing to go from preaching to meddling right now. We've been all about concepts and theories and cool stuff and fun stuff and no. No. God has a go plan for you. God has something specifically for you to do in relationship to these words right before he left the earth. It's not about the person next to you, it's about you. This is you. God is speaking to you now. So how do we embrace the go? Okay, so the first thing is, talk about what Jesus has done for you. All right, so I'm going to give you a couple of examples here. So last week in our group, Celeste Fitzpatrick, who is part of our group, she retired last year. And since she has retired, she's doing some things and she's walking with this lady in her neighborhood. And this lady is not a believer in Jesus Christ. Her husband wants nothing to do with religion. But Celeste told us to pray for her because her neighbor actually said, you know, maybe God wants me to get to know him because he keeps putting people like you in my path. And we're all saying, that is so cool. We want that too, right? We want that. Okay, well, you know what? You know why Celeste has that opportunity? It's because she said something at some point about being a Christian, right? In their walk, she's been saying something. It's the only way. You gotta say something. If you never talk about what Jesus has done for you at work, your work colleagues will never come to you and ask you when they have questions, right? I mean, talk about it. I was talking to another family this summer, and they were saying, and they're at the point they could, probably the family is growing, and they have the means and the opportunity, they could move into a little bit bigger house, and they said, you know what, we're not moving right now, because we believe that our neighbor without Christ, God has us next to this neighbor without Christ for the sole purpose of them coming to know Jesus. And we're not going to move until that happens. Yes! But again, how does the neighbor know? Because they talked about it. They're sharing it. Second, invite someone into your life. Guys, I am just impressed and amazed at how many people invite others into their lives. One of the big ways this is happening in our church and our culture today is by people fostering and adopting other people. I mean, what an incredible thing. There's children who are in a challenging situation and believers in Jesus Christ who have an extra room, have some free space, have a little bit extra money, and they say, I'm gonna open up my home, I'm gonna open up my life, I'm gonna open up my calendar that's already too full so that this person can hear about the good news of Jesus Christ. I hear about people who bring in housemates. Crazy situations, things I wouldn't do, quite frankly. You know, we've had some people in our house at different times, and the hope in that endeavor is that they'll come to know Jesus Christ. Invite someone into your life. You know, we sponsor children. I can't remember. I should have got the numbers, but I think it's 50 or 60 or 80 or something like that. Children in Dajabon in the Dominican Republic have been sponsored by Fellowship of the Rockies families. And these kids that they sponsor, they spend $38.95 a month, and they take them into their life, and they're praying for them. Why? And not just so that they have food and clothes, so they can know Jesus Christ. In fact, we're doing that next weekend, Sponsorship Sunday. So anyway, invite someone into your life. Three, serve in the community. Guys, we talk about publicly, and it's in the bulletin because we're constantly doing stuff with the Salvation Army here. And I looked up in the group, and there's over 50 people at Fellowship of the Rockies that are making these meals, that are serving on the truck, that are helping out in the name of Jesus Christ. The organization here is a big, great organization. I believe it could be the flagship model for the rest of the country, Springs Rescue Mission. And 10 years ago, we did like We Care one day, and we went out and we did a whole bunch of community projects, had several hundred people from the church go out that day. We built this pergola. Steve's here. He's nodding his head. Steve, raise your hand. Steve's doing that in a couple weeks. He's getting it together. We're going to redo that pergola. We built this pergola down there. It needs to be redone. We're going to do it. So opportunity, get out there in the community. And those are some things that we're doing as a church, but you could do it other ways. Go volunteer to read at school. You know, go pick up trash in your neighborhood. Clean up a park. Do something because people have a hard time, as we talked about last week, people have a hard time criticizing Jesus when they see Christians doing good things, right? Serving the community, and then lastly, go in his name. Guys, God has a go for you. I don't know what that go is, but God has a go for you. All right, so this is the deal. Tomorrow morning, there's 14 or so people that are going to Houston from Fellowship of the Rockies and cleaning out houses. Okay? Going to go down there and clean out houses. Go in the name of Jesus. Next year we're going to go to Juarez, and we've been doing Juarez a lot, right? And this year, a couple years ago, we decided, hey, every other year it's not just going to be a youth trip, it's going to be a whole church trip. And guys, so that means anybody can go, right? Even if you have kids, elementary school and above, go and bring them. Come as a family. It's good. Our goal is to take 75 people and build 4 houses. And at the end of that week, we leave Sunday morning, come back Friday night. At the end of that week, we hand the keys to a house to 4 different people in the name of Jesus Christ. It's a phenomenal thing. Go. Go. God has a go for all of us. Okay, so let's take out that community card I talked about earlier. Okay, great. Take out the community card, right? Come on. Everybody, take out the community card. And there's lots of things in here, okay? There's a spot on the prayer request. And you may have already filled out a prayer request. And if you did, great. I want to pray, then do it on the back. But if you haven't filled out your prayer request and you don't have one specifically, this is the section we're talking about right there, prayer request, right? Okay, so I mentioned some things, some opportunities for you to do at the church. And just, again, this is what we're doing. You can jump in. God might have something different. But we mentioned Salvation Army. So let me just be clear about, let's be clear about a couple things. Let's start with Steve's deal and the Springs Rescue Mission. If you're going to do that, you have to have some basic skills in construction. If every time you swing the hammer, you're worried about hitting your thumb, the rescue mission is not God's calling in your life, right? Okay? Nobody's cutting off their fingers that day, right? So you have to have some skill. Guys, you can go to Juarez, right? And literally every single year, middle school students build a house, right? So the qualifications for Juarez are a pulse and a passport, right? Okay? Salvation Army. You got to have some time, right? So there's three things here, three things that I talked about. And if one of those have interest to you, if they've triggered potential interest, what you do is you could write Juarez, you could write Springs Rescue Mission, or you can write Salvation Army. And the leaders in those organizations will contact you and you'll see if it's a fit. It may or may not be, all right? It's just, but you don't know until you ask, right? Or you're saying, man, nothing there really has done anything for me. None of those things trigger anything to me, but the scripture did trigger something, and I believe there's a go thing that God has for me. And so if that's you, I want you to write a question mark. And this week, every single day, I'm going to pray that God will open up his go plan for you in your life. So four things, right? Springs Rescue Mission, Salvation Army, Juarez, and question mark. And then we're going to put those in the offering basket in just a minute. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you for giving us this amazing record of what Jesus Christ said right before he left. And God, we do believe it is possible. We do believe that you have a plan for each one of us in relationship to this. And so I pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to effectively pursue that. And I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, so hey guys, we're gonna stand and we're gonna continue worship. So everybody, let's stand and make sure you get your card in there if you wanna. Everybody stand up. Everybody, this is a good deal, right? Everybody stretch. Ask the ushers to come forward and make sure you get your card in there if you want to be a part of the last giveaway this week. Okay, Joe, it's all you. Okay, but
everyone needs compassion, love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, kindness of a Savior. The hope of nations. The mountains, my God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Take me as you find me, all my fears and failures. Fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. The
We're gonna do three giveaways. So draw three, right? We're doing three today and not two. All right, so draw three cards. And if there's multiple, we're gonna do them all three together. And so if there's multiple on here, you guys get to come up. Okay, Caitlin, come on up, Caitlin. Josh Berry. Josh Berry, where's Josh? Josh, okay, Josh, come on up. And Frank or Donna? Frank or Donna? Who? Frank or Donna? Which one? Donna, you're coming? Okay. All right, so, all right, guys. This is sort of a big deal. Okay, you remember how we talked about Juarez? So all three of you have been given a trip to Juarez. Okay? So, all right, so I understand, gosh, Frank, you're John, Josh, have we ever even met Josh?
No.
No, and you're never going to come back ever again. Okay, so How to Run People Off a Church by Stuart McWilliams. All right, so. You guys, really, I prayed about this. Our missions team has been praying about it for a long time. And so this is what we're asking you to do. I don't know really if that's what God wants you to do, but we're going to give you the trip, or we're going to ask you, if you can't go, if you don't believe it's what God wants you to do, then we're going to let you give this trip to somebody else, and you partner with them in prayer over the course of the week. But I really hope, all three of you could go and your families or whatever. So that's that. Nobody will ever fill out cards again. Hang out here for just a second. Guys, if you need prayer, our prayer room is open. It's Harlan's office for right now. If serious, If somebody wants to be baptized right now, if the Holy Spirit is prompting you, come up here right now. We'll do it right now. That'll be a great thing. God bless you. Take care. We'll see you next.